Let's go. I have no idea what happened, but we are ready to go. Kyle Williams is your next LSU defensive line coach. And I've got to be honest, I am so freaking excited because, well, if you are like me and your fandom began when the 2003 LSU Tigers won the whole damn thing, you remember that defensive line. You remember Swaggoo. You remember Chad Lavallee. And then, of course, you cannot forget Kyle Williams, the longtime Buffalo Bill. That was the only NFL team that he played for. And he did so for a decade plus. He then went on to be a really good golfer and, of course, a state championship winning defensive coordinator with the Ruston Bearcats. And if you're like me, with a lot of North Louisiana influence in your life, you know how excited this makes you that someone who coached in North Louisiana is back in Baton Rouge. So I am of the belief that this is a good move. Is my bias creeping in? Because obviously that defensive line is my favorite LSU defensive line of all time. Yes, every single one of us is excited from an LSU fandom standpoint. But if you were to ask just a random person, hey, at LSU, the premier job, defensive line coach, arguably in the country, a guy that has no P4 coaching experience, is this actually a good hire? Well, a lot of people would say, well, that's kind of bold to hire someone that has no P4 defensive line experience. But what I can tell you from working the phones is Kyle Williams is really excited about this opportunity. And when he was a Buffalo Bill and when he was a Ruston Bearcat, he took every last opportunity as one that he did not take lightly. He went balls to the freaking wall. And on Twitter, we have shared a few of his motivational speeches to Buffalo Bills players before games, and it is nothing short of inspiring. So for me, if I were to grade this hire, I don't think you can give it an A. I think that would be a little misleading. I think I would give this a B, a very solid B. Now, there is a lot, and I mean a lot, to discuss when it comes to this hire. What actually happened? How did this process go? Well, I'll share a few things. The first is that LSU had its eyes on Kyle Williams for a little bit. All right, so this is his timeline. He played for the Buffalo Bills, and he was one of those guys that played for so long that you were always wondering, hey, when is he actually going to hang it up? When is he actually going to make that next step? It was kind of a Tim Duncan type of thing where everyone always said, hey, Kyle, this is probably the downhill portion of his career. And he kept proving the naysayers wrong. And he just kept playing and playing and playing and playing. And then, of course, he eventually did retire from the Buffalo Bills, was a very good NFL defensive lineman. And then, of course, he went pretty much straight into high school coaching with the Ruston Bearcats. And he was a phenomenal coach. Absolutely, positively phenomenal. As many of you know, I have a relationship with Ahmad Bro. We interviewed him a few years ago in person, and we have vaguely kept in touch. I talked to Ahmad a little bit earlier today, and I believe, and he believes, that this is a good move. Now, obviously, Kyle Williams coached Ahmad Bro in high school, so you do have that connection there, but he decided to step down at Ruston, right? So he won a state championship this past year that got absolutely mauled in the state championship game. And then he decided to step down. And part of why he did that is because, well, he doesn't need to coach, right? He's got a ton of money, not only from Ruston, but more so from the NFL. And he said, look, I have done everything I need to do as a high school coach short of actually being the head coach. So this job opened up, and LSU was interested. There is a viral photo of Kyle Williams and Brian Kelly at a practice. Kyle and BK hit it off there. And obviously, this was something that LSU was interested in. Kyle himself was also very interested in. And also, historically, LSU has kind of kicked the tires a little bit on some of these types of coaches, right? There was a rumor out there. I don't think there was a whole lot to it. But Kevin Mawai really pushed to be the LSU offensive line coach. Obviously, Kev Falk was the running backs coach for a season not too long ago. So this isn't totally uncommon that a legend comes back and coaches somewhat quickly after their professional career was over, right? DeMarco Murray at Oklahoma. There's a lot of instances where this is the case. So this isn't something like just totally unprecedented that this happened. But LSU was interested in Gerald Chapman, who is the defensive line coach at Florida. So that was interesting. Chapman decided to stay at Florida. This was someone who was interested in the LSU opening a few years ago. And then obviously LSU decided to go in a different direction. And the question is, who else did LSU pursue? Now, this is very important. There was a report that Al Davis, the Missouri defensive line coach, was in the mix here. And a lot of it made sense, right? He was close to Blake Baker. He's obviously really close to Kevin Peoples because they were all on the same staff not too long ago. And the report was made by Lon at LSU Odyssey. And it wasn't true. Okay. Now, was there interest? LSU was interested in Kyle Williams from the get-go. They were, all right? It might not have been their absolute tippity-top option, but I think the thing people get wrong quite a bit about hires, especially when it comes to assistant coaches, is how fluid all of this actually is, all right? I think, and I spoke with another LSU reporter about this privately, and I won't say who, but we spoke privately about sources and info and all of that. And as many of you know, I will never sit and lie to you and say, hey, I am Mr. Adam Schefter of LSU football. That is not what I do. I provide analysis. I provide commentary. I provide community. And a few years ago, I did get very good intel about the defensive coordinator opening. So Matt House got fired. And on the stream, I was sitting here and I was like, okay, I think the next guy is going to be Blake Baker. Okay. And I said it, it got posted on Tiger Droppings, and then it was Carter's reporting, Blake Baker. And I felt, you know, somewhat good about it, but it wasn't finalized or anything. I just knew from someone I trust quite a bit that there was serious interest from both parties. And I quickly just kind of removed myself from it, right? Because I don't feel like there's a whole lot to gain being the first person. Because I am not a reporter. Now, I have a journalism degree and all of that. But even though I felt that that was a direction that both parties wanted to move in, I said, look, I don't want to be the guy that says this is right or this is wrong. And that's why, you know, I don't try and be a newsbreaker. I think it's just silly. And, you know, this isn't me calling out any reporter or anything like that. But my phone blew up. Carter, Al Davis is going to be the next guy. He's going to be the next defensive line coach. And it was getting retweeted 1,000 times over. And I want this to be known. He very well could have been. Lon might have had some magical source. And I'm not, once again, belittling him or anything like that. But a lot of people thought that was the actual thing. But understand how quickly coordinator and assistant coach jobs come and go. All right. They literally change by the minute, by the second, by the day. There are so many dominoes that have to happen. Let's just say Chapman would have ended up taking the LSU job. You know how many dominoes would have had to fall for whoever Florida was going to get? Okay. So that's the thing you always got to keep in mind. And another thing about assistant coaches is that they can come from anywhere. a lot of the times we think it's coming from the NFL down. This time it's coming from not a lower level college, but from the high school level up. So understand that, right? That's part of the reason why I didn't go live yesterday. Because I started hearing some things that we might be getting a defensive line coach, and the stream I would have done yesterday was dated, and I wanted to sit and consume some LSU baseball. So always keep in mind that until something is signed, sealed, delivered, don't go crazy. Don't go crazy. Okay. But the bottom line is I do think this is a good hire. Now, this is the big thing. And this is part of LSU's thinking on this. All right. Number one is that there is no way. There's absolutely positive. And I don't know this. I don't have the money in front of me on this. Okay. But we know for certain that Kyle Williams isn't going to make as much money as Bo Davis. It would be irresponsible. Bo Davis is making $1.25 million. Kyle Williams will probably make $500,000-$600,000, something like that. So this is a little bit more of a cheaper option. Okay. The second thing is Kyle Williams more than likely is going to stay at this job for more than a season. It would be wild, absolutely wild, if he is here for just a season. I don't think it would be for him jumping to another college. It would be him jumping to an NFL defensive line coaching job. That would be the only thing that would make any type of sense. So his lack of experience is somewhat interesting because, well, he's not going to have a gazillion suitors for his services next year. So I think LSU is looking for someone that obviously loves LSU, which Kyle Williams desperately does. And then number two, someone that has a high likelihood of sticking around for more than a season. All right. That was relayed to me that that was part of it. Okay. So overall, I am fine with this hire. I really am. And I think he's going to be good. And part of why I think Kyle Williams is going to be good is there are some people in life that are just good at everything. I hate those kinds of people. I had a soccer teammate named Steven Eckert. All right. 35 on the ACT. Ran a 4.4 40-yard dash. We played the same position in soccer. He ran a 4.4. I ran a 5.4. Okay. We were both musically talented, but he was really, really good in music. He went to Notre Dame, and he is now a millionaire doctor. Okay. It didn't matter what we did. He never played basketball. He would beat me in one-on-one. Some people are just good at every damn thing. And you're probably thinking of that person right now. Y'all, Kyle Williams has been good at everything he's ever done. Even things that he necessarily doesn't do. Like, he is a very, very, very good golfer. Like, very good. He is a very, very good high school coach. He was a very, very good defensive lineman. Some guys are just good. All right? So I think he's going to be good. I really do think so. And I am really excited to see this defensive line. Another thing that this does is it, and some of you might like this, some of you might not, is that LSU staff on the defensive side of the football will remain on the younger side. I think Corey Raymond would be the oldest coach now on this side of the football. So I don't know if some of you like that. I don't know if some of you don't. But Kyle Williams will be the next defensive line coach at LSU. Now, I have said my piece on everything from the hire, the reporting, to if this is actually a good move for LSU. Now we get to all your comments. We'll also discuss who I think is going to stay, who I might go, who might go, who's going to benefit from all of this. So here we go. Okay. Let's go to CK. 13 years of pro football experience is golden. The pro guys relate to the elite kids and help them make the transition. We said Adante, George, LA Mom. I hope since he was so successful in the NFL that it will keep our guys from hitting the portal. Let's go to Blanche. We know they got him on the cheaper side. I hope he inspires these guys to stay. Every good coach has to start from somewhere. Yeah. I'm sporting the 5 o'clock shadow. There we go. BT, good to see you. For those that are interested, I ran my best ever 10K. I say best ever. That's a lie. My best post 30 10K. I was that pumped up. I literally just put some running shoes on, ran, got in the shower, jumped right into the stream. I got the Kyle Williams news. I was like, I just want to go run. I literally ran through a brick wall. Okay. Now, what does Kyle Williams need to do with the LSU defensive line? Well, if obviously I'm sure he watched every single game and he knows way more about defensive line play than I do. I am a defensive tackle myself. We're roughly the same age. I think I'm definitely younger than him. But one big philosophical thing that I would change about the LSU defensive line, and I don't think this is the worst thing in the world, but I would like our defensive line to be less aggressive. All right. So this was something that we really struggled with, and it's part of why we could not stop dual threat quarterbacks. Okay. It's the idea that our defensive line needs to penetrate and make plays in the backfield. I think penetration is very overrated when it comes to run-stuffing defense. Because what happens is, let's just say a defensive tackle shoots into the backfield and makes a 2-yard tackle or a negative 2-yard tackle for loss. All right? That's a big play. But how big of a play is it actually? Well, in the grand scheme, it's not really that big of a play. It's a negative 2-yard loss, all right? So instead of it being first and 10, it's second and 12. But what would happen is our defensive line would be very, very, very aggressive. Now, some of that is by design. If you're getting called on a slant stunt, you've got to shoot the gap. That is your job, all right? I'm a fan of that. But if you're not doing that, if you're going to penetrate, you have got to make sure you go back there and make the play. And if you do that, good. But if you don't do that, you can take yourself out of the play. This was something that Matt House's defense has struggled with. We would over-penetrate. And when you over-penetrate, you wash yourself out of the play, and it actually widens the gap for a running back to run through. That was a big problem with us versus South Carolina. We struggled penetrating. Well, actually, we penetrated fine, but that's what they wanted us to do. I would venture off from that just a little bit. And that's part of why Marcel Reed and everyone was able to run all over us. Now, is that the main reason why this happened? No, but it was just something that contributed to it. So, yes, we want to be aggressive. Yes, we want to go in there and make a ton of plays in the backfield. But so many offenses now are predicated on read plays, right? You know, with duo schemes and even zone schemes, so much of it is running backs pressing and seeing which hole actually opens up. All right. You don't want gaping wide holes. We don't want Kardashians. We want those holes tight. We can't let people just plow through us. All right. That's part of it. And also we just gotta be more physical. We just do. That's part of it as well. And that was Kyle Williams' game. He was a very physical defensive lineman. He had very volatile and I mean volatile hands. I think that was the best part of his game. The dude had freaking stone hands. Think of the Thing from the Fantastic Four. That's a lot of how he played tackle football. And I think that's going to help a guy like Dominic McKinley, who, you know, has all the athleticism in the world, but probably doesn't have that same level of physicality yet to his game. Okay. So I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited about Ahmad Bro and a familiar face coming into this room. I'm excited to see what he's going to do with Jakobian Guillory. And obviously the number one thing that he's going to need to do is call the five Bo Davis signees and say, hey, I understand you came to LSU to play for Bo, but we need you to play for LSU. And I am the guy that's going to help you get to the level that you want to get to. Okay? I am really pumped up about this, as you could tell. I do think there's going to be a learning curve. And I also think one thing that's going to help out here is Kevin Peoples, being such a tenured defensive line coach, he's going to help Kyle Williams and the learning curve that will come along with being a coach. Now, there is going to be a loud portion of LSU fans that will say, well, what about recruiting? What is Kyle Williams going to be like as a recruiter? Well, you are in good luck, because that is a very valid claim. And coming up right after this, I'm going to tell you why that's a bunch of bullshit. Are you a diehard LSU fan? And would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown. Counter GY, you're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles, and my personal favorites, oh yeah, the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy. We take a look at cutting edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new signup gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we gotta save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today, patreon.com/LSU football, and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's freaking go!
Let's go!
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I gotta show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 spin booth experience, serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. All righty. Recruiting doesn't matter. I would say it's never mattered less. I'm serious. Number one is the high school recruiting experience is just not as important. The first thing is portal recruiting is so different than high school recruiting, okay? Where you're essentially a mercenary, all right? You're getting brought in for, you know, a fair market value number, and you're just going to play for whoever is there, right? So, you know, the actual recruiting and bringing a kid in and developing them, it's just not as important as it once was. The second thing is the same thing kind of applies to high school recruiting, okay? If you want a kid bad enough and he's highly rated enough, you've got to pay up. I mean, it's just how it is. Some of you like it, some of you don't, whatever. It's wild to me that people think that high school recruiting is something that Kyle Williams won't be able to do. He was a high school coach. Don't you think he knows all these high school coaches in Louisiana? I would feel a lot different if he was a defensive line coach, let's say in the NFL, for only like a year, than if he was an assistant coach, or excuse me, a high school coach coming into college, especially being a high school coach in the state of Louisiana. All right. So this idea that you've got to have a gazillion years coaching in college to be a defensive line coach at LSU, it's just silly to me. It's absolutely silly to me. So if this was 5-7 years ago, somewhere around there, yeah, I would probably be a little bit more critical of the hire. But this is different. This is very, very different, the times we are in. And I have sounded the alarm on this for quite a few hires. I can care just a tad bit less if your biggest claim to fame is a good recruiter. It's just something I don't care about as much. I might be wrong on that. But it's a valid criticism to a certain degree. I just don't think it's as big of a deal. I just don't. All right. Now, we are close. Spring football kicking off here in a few days. Excited about that. And I'm excited to get going with some spring football content. Uh-oh. The Master Blaster. What's good? It's out of Chris. I think it's a great hire and outlook for stability. LSU has gone through many defensive line coaches. I agree on the stability thing. I think it is more likely he would stay an extra year, but at this point, I'm not going to assume anything. That's what I'm going to say. And what's up, big dog? Your package did not arrive today, even though it was supposed to. Pause. But I was excited. I was really freaking excited. I've had a few of you ask me. I won't be able to go to the spring game this year. Last year was a lot of fun, though. It was a good fun PHL get together. But I won't be able to go. I kind of want to go the night before, though. I think that'd be kind of fun. Party it up in BR. But no spring game for me this year, unfortunately. Part of why I don't want to go is last year we interviewed Bryce Underwood. And I was like, wait, really? Bryce Underwood interviewed him? And my heart got shattered, as it was for a lot of you as well. I still have my Bryce Underwood signed Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels t-shirt. Oh, crap. I do have a flight to catch. I'm supposed to fly to D.C. tomorrow to surprise Hey. I don't think I'm going to be able to make it. I'm sorry. Let's go to Josh. Look, Josh got some smooches on him. He's going to have these guys loving football and out there having fun. Let's go, Josh. Let's go, JMH. Let's go. Josh says, I'm going to give you my middle initial. And Josh, I already know your middle name. I stalked you on Facebook during the break. Joshua Michael Hayes. I know exactly where you live, too. In Thibodeau. You live in Thibodeau. I know everything there is to know about you, Joshua. Say, Blanche. Oh, the Brood's watching. What's up, Brood? Now, next day. We will not know who LSU plays tomorrow. Actually, we might know. Let me go check. I don't know how they actually determine that because I could care less about the SEC tournament. Let's see. We will play Alabama or Florida tomorrow. I kind of want to play Alabama, the rematch for how that game went down last week. But we'll play Alabama or Florida tomorrow night at 7:30 Central. Is it a must-win game? No, I think LSU's got a top 16 seed locked in. But if they do lose, losing three straight going into the tournament gets a little frisky. So you would prefer to play Florida tomorrow. Because I think if Alabama wins, it probably does become a little bit more of a must-win game tomorrow for Kim Mulkey's Tigers. Now, I do want to shout out LSU baseball. Monster Milam absolutely roping the baseball right now. Goodness gracious. He is something else. 13-3, 10 run ruled him after a tough Tuesday comeback victory with the slow start. And then they will play a three-game series versus North Alabama. So obviously not the strongest of competition, but we're already a quarter of the way through the season. And they'll play a midweek game versus Xavier, and boom, SEC play hits you. With an Alec Box opening weekend schedule versus Missouri. Okay, so we'll see where LSU baseball goes. Obviously, it's a back and forth now between them and Tennessee, who's number one and number two. But none of it matters until SEC play gets going. None of it. Okay. Yeah, let's hope, Amicat. What's up, Christian? Good to see you. I think that's where a lot of people want. They want a defensive line coach that's going to hang around. You know, this is what I would say as far as the defensive line coaches, you know, coming and going. The first thing is, yes, it is true that LSU has had a revolving door at the defensive line coach. But why was there a revolving door? Well, Ed Orgeron was part of the last regime. Okay. And then you have Bill Johnson, who was later on in his career, and then he brings in the Pro Bowler who played for the Dolphins, Andre Carter. And then, of course, you get to the Brian Kelly era, home run hire with Jamar Cain. Both parties move on. Then you have the weird situation with Coach Lindsey. And then you have Bo Davis, okay? And you mix in there John Jancic, Coach Hill, who is an assistant defensive line coach under Coach Kane. He's in the NFL now. But a lot of those guys, it makes sense why they left, right? What if Jimmy Lindsey never had the health scare and he was the second coming of Ed Orgeron? In terms of being a dominant defensive line coach. Then you have Bo Davis leaving for an NFL job. Jamar Cain leaving for an NFL job. Now, that's not a gazillion percent why Jamar Cain left, but it is what it is. And Cain was a phenomenal defensive line coach. But there are reasons, right? I don't think it's necessarily a Brian Kelly thing or an LSU thing. And I don't think this is just... Obviously, this has been very extreme. I don't think it's totally unprecedented, though. normally assistant coaches, position coaches, they on average, I would say, last anywhere from three to four years at any program. So going from one to one, it is wild. I won't downplay how wild that is, but you know, it's also explainable, if that makes sense. Okay. Okay, we got viewers in Mobile. BT says, outstanding hire. Oh, you went with the outstanding. I like a good, there's nothing like a good outstanding. I love it. Now, if you guys don't mind, please go follow us on Twitter at Power Hour LSU. It goes a long way for our algorithm. 135 of you watching in total. I think it was 50 on YouTube, a few on Facebook. So I appreciate each and every one of you for our off-season crowd. Now, please go support Zion Imaging and all our partners. Now, we made a few comments earlier this week about some of the spring storylines heading into this weekend. I think one interesting story is Van Buren. Okay. And we're not talking about the president. We're talking about the quarterback. Will he emerge as the top backup for LSU? Could he carve out a role at LSU? And I will always slam the table for this. You cannot make redshirt assurances with a backup quarterback. And what does that mean? Well, obviously as a QB, you want to preserve your eligibility, especially one like Michael Van Buren, who, because of his height, will probably never project to an early enrollee NFL QB, all right? He's already played one season in one. So when we discuss college eligibility, with the way redshirt rules and NIL stakes are now, it's important to not just say a guy is a freshman, a sophomore, or anything like that. Even redshirt freshman, redshirt sophomore could be a little misleading. It is important to say what year a guy is in and how many years of eligibility he has left. Okay? Say Garrett Nussmeier, for instance. He has 1 year of eligibility left. So does Mansoor Delane. But the stakes are different. Mansoor Delane has 2 years to play this final year. Garrett Nussmeier has one. So, barring a medical situation, Nuss has his final year. Okay, it's just a hypothetical. So, as a quarterback, it would make every party happy if Van Buren can, of course, preserve the redshirt. But if he is someone you could trust to go out there and be something a little bit different than Garrett Nussmeier and have a package for him as a runner. Now, as a runner, he's good. I wouldn't say he's like elite as a runner. I think that's part of the reason why they want to experiment here with Juwan Johnson. You know, I would say to him, hey, Garrett's our guy. We're going to play Garrett, you know, every single game. But if we feel you can be a part of our offense in some capacity, we need you to be there. We do. I think Van Buren is solid. I really do. I liked watching him play. I really, really, really did. So, you know, I've waxed poetic about him. Could it be that I like to defend short quarterbacks? I do, because I myself am short, and I cheer for my fellow short kings. But I think he's going to be a good quarterback at LSU. I really do. I really, really, really do. Okay. Now, here's what you're going to do. In the next 10 to 15 minutes, I'm going to answer as many LSU football-related questions as we possibly can. If you want to talk some LSU baseball, let's do it. If you want to talk some LSU women's basketball, let's do it. I will address the men's basketball team. All right. So I did a show on Tuesday. And, you know, I try to be as flexible as I can with all the other sports in our live stream schedule. Obviously, I have a family to feed here. So, you know, you have to go live to provide. Right. But I decided to go live, and I didn't mention at all that LSU was playing Kentucky because it dates your show. There's plenty of people that go back and watch the show. And, you know, I didn't want to give updates on LSU versus Kentucky, but we got blown off the floor. We got absolutely positively blown off the floor. All right. So I'll say it again. I am very happy that LSU is elite in so many sports. We are top 10 in so many sports. All right. That does not mean. And before I say this next thing, this is the hardest the SEC has ever been. And we could discuss NIL. We could discuss facility. We can discuss all of that. You should never get beat by 40 or whatever the hell it was. All right. I don't mind losing. College sports is really freaking hard. These are the best of the best amateur athletes on the planet. On the planet Earth. In arguably the best conference, maybe ever in college basketball. We should not get beat by that, like that. Especially with the Kentucky team with a weird profile. And I feel there's just too many instances where just in general, we are not competitive enough in games. I don't mind losing. I know that that sounds counterintuitive. And I know I should say, hey, winning, I don't... Winning is all that matters. I am not that kind of guy. What I need you to be, though, is competitive. Now, that's where I need you to be. We have got to be competitive. And there's just so many games. Even the Tennessee game that we covered the spread against not too long ago. And Tennessee, of course, has had they've not played their best in recent weeks. But, you know, Tennessee was not playing well. And at the end, we were able to make some push. But we really, there really wasn't an instance in that game where it was like, you know, we could pull this off. And then, of course, my girl Beth Tarina. The Beth Tarina haters are not going to like it. They're just not going to like it. All right? I won't ever admit to say that I watch every pitch of every game. Okay? They'll play a doubleheader tomorrow because of, you know, Baton Rouge weather this weekend. 4 p.m. first pitch, 6:30 tomorrow. They got Minnesota coming to Tiger Park next week as well. If there is a Beth Tarina fan out there, it is me. If she's got 10,000 fans, I am one of them. If she's got 100 fans, I am one of them. If she only has one fan, I am her only fan. That did not sound right, but you guys get the picture. I will defend Beth Tarina. What about SEC play? We don't know anything. True. No, we've lost one game. I know it's very surface level analysis. And I understand winning isn't everything, like I said a minute ago. But y'all, we started last season 23 and freaking 0, beating number one Texas. 23 and 0. And now what? We were 16 and 1 or something like that? She's good. She's good. We got knocked out last year by the best pitcher in the sport. All right. Now, next thing. You guys know I'm big on preserving LSU football history, in particular, recent LSU football history. All right. I'm not asking LSU fans to know Tommy Casanova's birth date, but it's important to know who Tommy Casanova was. It's also important for you to know who this was. This was Kyle Williams' running mate at defensive tackle, Chad Lavallee. All right. So there's going to be a lot of young LSU fans looking up Kyle Williams' highlights. And while you look at Kyle Williams' LSU highlights, you'll see big number 93 was that dude. All right. He was so damn good. Now, it didn't work out in the NFL. He was a fifth round pick. But man, Chad Lavallee. Whew. Look at that dude. A freaking unit. I remember young me, eighth grade me, meeting him in the Mall of Louisiana. And my mother and I talked to him for forever. Forever. Now, that was so cool. It was big for me. I was a defensive tackle trying to learn the position. He gave me some tips, too. I asked him. Chad freaking Lavallee. So, anytime I could brag about Chad Lavallee, I will. Because a lot of people know who Swag Oo is. Right? But Chad was that guy, bro. Let's go to Amicat. He says, nothing against Van Buren, but the numbers Johnson put up in high school, I think the majority of fans would rather see him. The problem is he's not a thrower. All right. Now we'll see how good of a thrower he is in camp. But I think Van Buren's QB too. We'll see, though. We'll see. I mean, to your point, Amicat, Juwan Johnson statistically is one of the best Louisiana high school football players of all time. Okay. It just is. Man, dude, I saw this I'm not going to comment on it too much, but man, like I never joined a fraternity in college. And you have a lot of buddies that join white fraternities, black fraternities. But that hazing story at Southern has just shattered me. And I, man, like literally devastating. You know, we have some youngins that watch. You don't need to do that to be cool. And you know, we can get into like the minutiae of what exactly happened. I'm not totally privy to all the information, but I've thought about it quite a bit. And I'm praying for his family. I really, really am. Hopefully they get answers. But holy crap. And I want to say I lived vicariously through a lot of you for Mardi Gras this year. You guys braved the elements, the wind. I go to Mardi Gras in New Roads, Louisiana. And that's like the most underrated thing about Fat Tuesday is like, it's not just New Orleans that celebrates. There are fun Mardi Gras parades throughout the state of Louisiana. The best is in New Roads, though. Sorry. New Roads Mardi Gras goes harder than any other Mardi Gras ever made. because we are in the country. Point could be bearish. There ain't no tourists there. Nolan Mardi Gras is fun. I've actually never been to Fat Tuesday in New Orleans because I always go to New Roads. I will say, Endymion and Bacchus on the weekend, though, remains undefeated. I've been to Endymion Ball twice, and it was great. Let's see. Shaquille O'Neal celebrating a birthday today. Okay. Saw LSU, vintage LSU. Chuck Wiley also celebrating a birthday today. Chuck Wiley, that's a deep. Deep, deep cut right there. Now, that'll do it for me. I appreciate each and every one of you being a part of the fun, and I mean fun, PHL community. Don't forget, we're giving out a Ja'Marr Chase jersey at the end of the month. All you got to do is join the PHL Patreon. And guess what? If you join the PHL Patreon I didn't say that smoothly at all. If you join the PHL Patreon while we are live, guess what? You get your first month free. The link is down below. You sign up. You're automatically entered to win a Ja'Marr Chase jersey. And you get a Joe Burrow card in the mail from me. So what are you doing? Get to it. Link down below. You get extra film studies, analysis, and get access to our exclusive Power Hour LSU Discord. Join us. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom! Shout out to our friends at Zion Imaging. That's xyanimaging.com. And tonight, we're doing steaks. We're burning the house down tonight. Let's go.